Welcome to the Gravity Leadership Podcast. Gravity Leadership is a community of people seeking to live our lives in the orienting center of God's love in the midst of our post-Christian world, learning to lead like Jesus, live on mission, and make disciples. In nature, gravity is the phenomenon that brings stuff together, objects as small as atoms and quarks and as large as stars and galaxies. We believe the gravity of the Christian life is the love of God revealed in Jesus Christ. The Gravity Leadership Podcast is curated conversations on what it looks like to practically orient our lives and our leadership in the love of Christ, the gravity that holds everything together.
Hey, folks.
Hey!
Welcome. Hey! Welcome to the Gravity Leadership Podcast, another episode of the Gravity Leadership Podcast. It's really good to have you with us. I'm here today with the three co-founders of Gravity Leadership. It's me, Ben Sturkey.
Come on.
And Ben Hardman out in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yes, sir.
Down.
Down. Out. I mean, it's out from here.
Down.
Down and out.
Everything's out.
Ben Hardman's down and out in Atlanta.
Down and out in Atlanta.
Out in Atlanta.
And Matt Tevy's here as well. It's good to be together. Bros?
We were just together last weekend.
That's what we want to talk about today. The Gravity Leadership National Gathering, intergalactic. Got called the intergalactic gathering because as far as we knew, there were no other gravity gatherings happening that weekend in the galaxy.
Cosmic and comic.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So we had a gathering last weekend, and we wanted to do a podcast episode just about some of our reflections on it because we learned a lot of things, and we're really encouraged about it. So,
can I give a 60-second summary for those who weren't there?
Yeah, yeah. What did we do? Why did we gather?
What did we do?
Tell us, Matt.
Well, I'll give you the content, and then maybe we can talk about how this gathering was different than other gatherings we do, and why both are necessary. That might be really important to do.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. So the title of the weekend was how to live on mission in the midst of a busy life.
Mm-hmm.
And what we decided to do was to back up and say, people are on mission, in quotes, based upon the formation that they have, mm-hmm. who they are, based upon the culture they live in, and mm-hmm. based upon whatever news, good news or bad news, that kind of dominates their life, right?
Yeah.
So their mission might be to make a lot of money, or just to make it to retirement.
So everybody has a mission.
Everybody has a mission. You can't live missionless. Even if it's to check out and play video games for 10 hours, like you're going to be on, that's your mission,
mission,
and you're going to accomplish it.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah. So we started
That's actually my teenage boy's mission.
Most
boys in this culture are...
their mission is to play as many video games as possible.
Yep.
Yeah.
To avoid adulthood as long as possible.
Yes.
Not clean their room.
So we started with no mission without formation, that we will do who we are. And so we need to have an intentional, not just aspirational, but an intentional, tangible way of forming people.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's no formation without culture. So culture, you can't just form people with education and pep rallies and to-do lists,
mm-hmm.
and opportunity. People don't just need opportunity to be on mission.
Yeah.
They have to be formed to be on mission, and they have to have some way, some culture that enculturates them into a missional way of living.
It makes mission normal. Like, this is what we do.
Yeah.
And from every angle, there is the message or the... Yeah, the culture of, this is what we do.
This is who we are. This is what we do.
Yeah.
And so then there's culture's made up of a lot of things. We could have probably spent the entire weekend just talking about what is culture and how do you make it. But we broke it down to paradigms, how we see, posture, how we be.
Relate to one another.
How we relate to one another and practices, right? Or habits.
Yeah.
Like how we inhabit the world. And then finally, there's no culture creation. There's no culture. There's no thick culture that transforms us and that we can pass on to other people without the gospel of the kingdom. So we need the good news of Jesus in all its myriad ways, myriad forms, dealing with our issues, the bad news that centers on our significance, security, and belonging, and learn how to be gospelers, learn how to become gospel fluent in our community so that when we are extending our community into the world, that we're just doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Like we don't have two tasks. We have one task, and our culture, our formation, and the gospel of the kingdom carries us out into mission. So that was
the outline of the content.
That was the outline of the content. But we we structured it differently than other gatherings we've done in the past. So, Hardman, would you, I don't know, you kind of have a good handle on this because you named this Kairos for us coming out of this. Like, how would you describe what we typically do with like events and trainings and then how this event went?
Yeah, I think what we've typically done is more of like a boot camp or a workout or a training where we kind of get in there and we're kind of laying out the content and giving handles and examples and helping churches and communities and leaders kind of develop a plan or a process or to think through what are some paradigm shifts that we need to make, particularly in the area of paradigm, posture, and practices. So like, what are the paradigm shifts that the Spirit's leading us into? What are some ways that the Father's speaking that we need to transform or change? What are some posture changes that need to happen within our community if we're going to inhabit those spaces? And then what are the practices that we need to come in and lean into? And so it feels much more like working out or training. And what we wanted to do for this event was really have more of a conversation, really do a little bit more of kind of thought leadership and kind of thinking through and understanding that like the wisdom is in the room. Right, that there are leaders all around the room that are wrestling with the same kinds of things and that we can learn from each other. And so I think what we did for this event, and I think we can grow in our ability to communicate what we're doing, right? Our ability to say like, hey, this is training, this is going to be working out, but this is going to be more of us just having a conversation about where we're at. And I was struck by how powerful it was for many people in the room to just hear and understand that there's a bunch of people in the room who are wrestling through the same things.
Yep.
That it's like, I'm not crazy. I'm not alone. Yep. I'm not the only one wrestling through this. I was also struck just by the power of proclaiming good news to one another.
Yes.
How remarkably that transforms us and how hungry we are for it. We've kind of adopted a phrase, I'm sure we stole it from somewhere, around here at Grace Marietta, where we just talk about like you oftentimes you find your purpose in your people. And what we're looking for is people who carry around a can of gasoline and a pail of water, and who are able to throw gasoline on our passions, right? To stir up the deep things of God within us, to call out who we are, to call out the good news within us, and then have a pail of water to dump on our fears. And so how powerful it is to have a tribe of people who are pushing us towards our passions, who are telling us who we are and not who we're not, and who are throwing water on our fears and reminding us of the good news. And I felt like that's was what was happening in the room. There was a lot of bad news that was proclaimed, even in the conversations, a lot of bad news that was thrown out there. But then it all came back to what's the good news of the kingdom? What's the Father doing? What's the good news that we have for one another? And how do we sharpen each other and urge each other on and call out the best in one another?
Yeah, that's really good. Another conceptual for what kind of a gathering we had, another two words for it, another two names for it that I've found helpful are learning commons and a community of practice. And these are both things that are out there, so you can kind of look it up. But I agree, Ben, that I think what we were trying to convene was a community of practice. And that's what was so helpful for people is that there was this common, like a community of practice is something like, say we all are like cobblers and we, you guys know what a cobbler
cobble
is?
Cobble shoes?
They work with shoes. We cobble shoes. Yeah.
Or make peach cobbler. I love peach cobbler, guys.
I'm a fan of blueberry cobbler myself. But anyway, so say we're all cobblers and we go to the cobbler convention and we sort of learn best practices from each other. We learn from what's happening in the cobbling world. You know, that kind of, I don't know why cobbling is the example, but that's kind of what a community of practice does. And that's what I felt like, was so encouraging about this gathering was that there were other people that they weren't just, you know, random leaders from, you know, various places, but they were people who were all trying to do kind of the same thing. We're trying to learn how to navigate ministry and mission in the 21st century in this post-Christendom world when everything is kind of being thrown up in the air, everything's changing. We're trying to learn how to lead in a new way, trying to find out what Jesus is doing in the midst of our culture today. And convening spaces where we can, where the learning's in the room, where we can learn from each other, was really valuable for people. That was one of the things that I took away from, is it was almost like, it was almost like being together would have been enough for a lot of people. Like, even if the content was just terrible, or we didn't even have any content, it would just be like, well, this is enough to just be with you.
We had dinner last night with someone who was there from the table, and her reflections on it were, she sat in this room and she said, for the first time in 16 years, I feel like I'm with my people again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is pretty incredible.
It was incredible.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that just came from a member of our church.
I think that was a common response, right? I felt like that was what we were hearing over and over again, was like, when we hang out, I feel like this is my tribe. I feel like these are my people. And I think part of that is just because we've talked a lot about disorientation on the podcast and in our content. I think there is a disorientation that's happening. And when you run into other people who have been through it, or are walking through it, or sensing the same things, or believing the same things about the church and about where the Spirit's moving, there's a lot of power in that of just, I'm not alone. I'm not by myself. I'm not the only one that feels this way.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of power in it. Yeah. It felt like God was doing something, that there was some power in being able to proclaim good news to each other, as you said, Hardman. And then, I guess it was just, it was good to see people get breakthrough in terms of being able to name their bad news. We call it bad news. I mean, that's just stuff like insecurities and fears and doubts and all the kinds of things that creep into, you know, leaders' minds.
Anything that decenters us from the love of God revealed in Jesus, and orients us in some other motivation, desire, or want.
Right.
Ben, you use the word passion. So anything that inflames our passions that isn't the love of God is bad news. The other thing that I picked up from the people that were there was, and you mentioned this, Hardman, is that the learning is in the room, which means that, you know, Hardman and Strinke and I were leading, quote, leading, but the teaching wasn't solely done by us.
Right.
So there's a generative conversation where people were, it was like a constructive conversation that was generative, that we fomented sort of like this posture. And this is hard to do. I feel like we're having to learn this as we go, where we don't jump in and take control. Oh, I'm glad you said that, Mary. That reminds me of this speech I want to give for 17 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or let me restate what you said better so we can benefit from my words. Mm-hmm. But there's this sense of open-handedly allowing the people to have a conversation that's where you're not sort of, you don't have an agenda and you're not trying to drive it to some specific place, which actually is hard to do, because a lot of us just like to jump in these big conversations where we had 50 people in the room and sort of like tell people what to do. Or speak definitively, or, you know what I mean? Or wrestle.
Argue with the point, or
argue with
like
the
that,
point,
or whatever. Yeah, yeah.
And there was some of that happening, but I think that there was enough of a social architecture in place where people deeply intuited that's a violation here of what's happening.
Yeah.
Right? So there was this hearing, welcoming, listening, like deep appreciation for what people shared, rather than kind of like a one-upmanship pontification. Argumentation.
Yeah.
And that's unique and special.
It is. And I think because it's difficult, and you mentioned like we're still learning how to do this. And I agree. I think overall, the space was good for that kind of conversation. But that was what I came away, one of the things I came away thinking was, how can we better set those kinds of expectations and framework and guidelines in the room to be able to say, this is, you know, how do we help people participate in that kind of conversation? Because any one of us can get kind of triggered into some of those other modes, right? Like go into speech mode, or, you know, I get, you know, ticked off by something.
You mean any one of us except for me, Ben? Because I would not get triggered into becoming argumentative.
Right. Clearly. Clearly that's what I meant. Yeah.
We all do that.
Yeah, we do. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know how else to say it, but I mean, my final reflection is just that it seems like God was up to something. Like there was a there was a sense in which this was not just, you know, some academic learning. This wasn't just some pastors trying to encourage each other because life is hard. But that God was knitting people's hearts together, that there was a sense of a like you said before, Hardman, like a sense of tribe, a sense of belonging, a sense that, yeah, that we're not alone. We're not crazy. Although maybe we are crazy, but, you know, we're crazy together.
Just a little bit.
There's other crazy people like us. And so maybe God's in this, you know? Mm-hmm. Maybe this isn't, maybe I don't need to go back to Egypt.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yep.
So
one other thing I noticed too is that there almost was a 50-50 male female split.
Mm. That's good.
And a lot of the women who were there, like, there was a really powerful moment the last day where there's a situation between two women who had conflict, and we just talked about how the practice of reconciliation creates a culture.
Yeah.
The culture we're talking about, a kingdom culture.
Yeah.
And the women were at the center of it and, like, led us for a good hour in unpacking what that looks like.
Yeah.
And so vital. It was vital.
Yeah. And to be clear, they didn't have a conflict in the room. It wasn't two women in the room, but they were outlining these two women were talking about a situation that had happened, like, just a few days ago that involved conflict. But as they unpacked kind of how they responded to it, I thought it was a beautiful example of how practices, you know, we talked about paradigm, posture, practices, but how some of the practices of reconciliation and the practices of the kind of leadership that we're trying to model and call people into, how they work out on the ground when, you know, it's a very normal kind of conflict situation happens.
Yep.
So that I thought that was one of the most helpful parts of the gathering for me, was to hear that illuminated, hear that outlined, and to be able to kind of have other people comment on that and observe things about it. Mm-hmm. It was really helpful.
Yeah. And I felt like, guys, even the times just around the bonfire or sitting in the living room or around a lunch, there was some really powerful things happening because it was just people kind of narrating, hey, this is what we're trying. This is where we're starting to see some fruit. This is where we're seeing the kingdom breakthrough in our community. And just discussing, okay, so how did that happen? How did you get a sense that God was leading you there? What are the practices that led you to it? What's the posture that shifted? Some of those conversations that were so good.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to somebody preach the other day who talked about, like, we hear more bad news probably in a week than our, like, great-great-grandparents heard in their lifetime.
Right.
Like, the way that information travels.
Yeah.
Anytime something bad happens in our world, we're immediately inundated with it. And that information comes at us so fast. And I wonder if we hear so much bad news that our bodies and minds weren't even meant for that. We're not created to hold that much bad news.
Yeah.
And it just reminds me of, like, I have to have people in my life who are calling out the good in me. And who are reminding me that there is good news at work, that the kingdom is breaking through, that everything isn't terrible, right?
Yeah.
We've got a lot of critique right now going on in the church world, which is warranted, right? There needs to be a critique, but we also have to have a beautiful imagination for what's next. And I just need people in my life continually reminding me, like, no, here's the first fruits of the kingdom. Here's good stuff happening. Keep pressing in, keep leaning in, keep striving and keep loving and keep serving, all of those things.
Yeah, and I would much rather the expression of something more beautiful be an inherent critique than to spend all my energy, like, specifically critiquing things that I think are bad and wrong.
Raging against the other cobblers.
Right. The other cobblers who are doing it, the mass market cobblers, you know, or Nike, you know, we're doing it right, that kind of thing. But just the expression, just being able to do what you sense God calling you to do, having a community that is doing that with you, that is coming alongside you, to be able to do that. And then however that may critique, you know, the powers that be or the status quo, let it be a critique. I mean, this is how I see Jesus living out his ministry, right? He wasn't intentionally kind of going after people. He was living out the kingdom, but then, like, there were consequences. There were ways that rubbed the powers that be the wrong way. So I'd much rather be part of that kind of community, Hardman, and, you know, kind of let the chips fall where they may in terms of the critique. That's a good word.
Yeah. So we want to do this again.
We do.
And maybe in Atlanta, maybe in Indianapolis again. If you have, let's hear, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear what kinds of things would you like to gather around. We want to curate these same kind of conversations. So what are the things that would you would benefit from talking about? Mm. And B, we heard from, I don't know, probably at least as many people who weren't there as you came that they wanted to be there and just couldn't. Yeah. So let us know if geography matters to you, if Atlanta works better for you. And then also, too, just an invitation, like we really want to be the kind of community that fosters and foments this kind of kingdom imagination that Ben Hardman just described. Mm. And so we don't do this very much, but let me just do it now. Join us. Mm. Be a part of this.
Yeah.
Not just for your sake, but for ours. Like, again, like we benefit greatly from collaboration or collaboration. We benefit greatly from collaboration. Like the center becomes stronger the more people who orbit around it with us.
Yes.
So and two, like, you know, the identity of gravity is shaped and honed by the people who participate in it.
That's absolutely true.
So join us, and it could be as simple as signing up for our weekly newsletter. It could be sharing this podcast with friends. It could be writing a review of this podcast so more people could find it. It could be coming to the National Gathering. It could be contacting us about coaching or doing a training at your church or your house church or your business. Whatever it is, we want to be connected to you. So whatever way that makes sense to you. This is just an invitation.
Yeah.
Personal.
Yeah.
Right? To do that.
It's good, Matt. It's right? good. There's so many people that I talk to that are just like, I'm out here on an island. I'm doing this alone. Yeah. I feel isolated, and I think we do want to be a place where we're a family, and we're inviting people in, and we're saying it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah, and that works. Just thinking that works two ways, right? Like we want you to join, you know, like gravityleadership.com/join, or actually, like if you go to this podcast episode, I think there'll be a form underneath it where you can just, you know, like Matt said, join our newsletter, you know, and get connected with us. But a lot of times too, like if you do feel like, man, I'm having these paradigm shifts, I'm out here on an island, one of the things that we can do is come out and do maybe not a community of practice or a learning commons, but a training, you know, for people that are in your church, just a way for us to come out and introduce something new to people in your congregation, in your church, in your business, to be able to open them up to, you know, maybe something new. You know, we could come out and do a training on one of our discrete, you know, practices or training in grace and truth, that kind of thing. And oftentimes what that does is it creates a community within your community of people who now feel like, man, these are people who are now journeying with me. I don't feel like I'm all alone on an island, but I've got some people here with me who are beginning to speak the same language, who are beginning to adopt the same postures, and who are beginning to practice the same habits. And you can create, and that's really how culture change happens. It doesn't happen all at once. It doesn't happen in one fell swoop. It happens when a seed is planted within a culture. Like it's a culture within a culture, and then it grows from there, like kind of like yeast in dough, which reminds me of something from the Bible. So anyway.
Let's end on the Bible.
Yeah,
should we?
We can end with scripture.
Anyway, thanks for listening, friends. Yes. We hope that our reflections have been a benefit to you. We have some exciting podcasts coming out over the next several months, including a new series. We just wrapped up the Women and Men in Ministry series. Mm-hmm. A new series coming out at the beginning of the year, I think, that we're excited about. We just want to tease it. We won't tell you what
it is. It's a new series about a topic that you'll enjoy.
Anyway, and it actually comes directly from your feedback and interaction over the last several months with our men and women leading alongside each other in ministry. So thank you.
Yeah.
And we'll share more about that. Anyway, grace and peace, friends. We'll speak at you next time.
Yep. See you later.
Cobble on.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Gravity Leadership Podcast. If you found it helpful, please let us know by leaving a rating or review on iTunes or wherever you review podcasts. You can also email us at podcast@gravityleadership.com to ask a question, suggest a topic for future episodes. And join our online community for free at gravityleadership.com/join. You'll get our latest content delivered straight to your inbox, as well as an email most Fridays with curated links to articles we found interesting or helpful throughout the week. To join us, go to gravityleadership.com/join.